اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام أتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك، وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة، وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة، وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي، وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي، وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها، وهموم قد كشفتها، وعثرة قد أقلتها، ورحمة قد نشرتها، وحلقة بلاء قد فككتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له شريك في الملك، ولم يكن له ولي من الذل، وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها، على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه، ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه، ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده، الظاهر بالكرم مجده، الباسط بالجود يداه، الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما، إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير، مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما، وغناك عنه قديم، وهو عندي كثير، وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي، وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي، وصفحك عن ظلمي، وسترك على قبيح عملي، وحلمك عن كثير جرمي، عندما كان من خطئي وعمدي أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه منك، الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك، فصرت أدعوك آمنا وأسألك مستأنسا، لا خائفا ولا وجلا، مدلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أبطأ عني عتبت بجهلي عليك، ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي، لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي. يا رب إنك تدعوني فولي عنك، وتتحبب إلي فأتبغض إليك، وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك، كأن لي التطول عليك. فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك. فارحم عبدك الجاهل وجد عليه بفضل إحسانك، إنك جواد كريم. الحمد لله مالك الملك مجري الفلك مسخر الرياح فالق الإصباح ديان الدين رب العالمين. الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، والحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، والحمد لله على طول أناته في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد. الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق فالق الإصباح ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام، الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى، تبارك وتعالى. الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يعادله، ولا شبيه يشاكله، ولا ظهير يعاضده، قهر بعزته الأعزاء وتواضع لعظمته العظماء، فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه، ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. فكم من موهبة هنيئة قد أعطاني، وعظيمة مخوفة قد كفاني، وبهجة مونقة قد أراني، فأثني عليه حامدا وأذكره مسبحا. الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه، ولا يغلق بابه، ولا يرد سائلوه، ولا يخيب آمله. الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين، وينجي الصالحين، ويرفع المستضعفين، ويضع المستكبرين، ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين. والحمد لله قاصم الجبارين، مبير الظالمين، مدرك الهاربين، نكال الظالمين، صريخ المستصرخين، موضع حاجات الطالبين، معتمد المؤمنين. الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها، وترجف الأرض وعمارها، وتموج البحار ومن يسبح في غمراتها. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويطعم ولا يطعم ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى وهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسوله وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسنى وأكثر ما صليت وباركت وترحمت وتحننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم صل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك وحجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبأ العظيم. وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين. وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة. وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي. حججك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائمة. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدوس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك. استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. مكن له دينه الذي ارتضيته له. أبدله من بعد خوفه أمنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخلق. اللهم إنا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام وأهله وتذل بها النفاق وأهله وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا واشعب به صدعنا وارتق به فتقنا وكثر به قلتنا وأعزز به ذلتنا وأغن به عائلنا واقض به عام مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وسد به خلتنا ويسر به عسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجح به طلبتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وأعطنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وأعطنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسع المعطين اشف به صدورنا وأذهب به غيظ قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إله الحق آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وغيبة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا فصل على محمد وآله وأعنا على ذلك بفتح منك تعجله وبضر تكشفه ونصر تعزه وسلطان حق تظهره ورحمة منك تجللنا وعافية منك تلبسنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوات. السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين بعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this last night of the month of Ramadan that He forgives us of all our shortcomings, of all our sins, and release us, free us of the hell that we have created for ourselves through our deeds, inshallah. And we thank Him for bringing us this far in the month of Ramadan, and we ask Him to allow us to benefit from the last day of the month of Ramadan tomorrow, all up till the time of sunset or Maghrib is when the last moments of the month of Ramadan will be ending, and inshallah we can be taking advantage of those last hours and minutes as well. what I'd like to discuss tonight is from the Holy Quran, the first reminder being that this shouldn't be the end of it. It says that, meaning the end of our contact with the Quran, it is said that The month of Ramadan is Rabi'ul Qur'an. Rabi' means spring. Springtime is when trees develop new leaves. They come back to life. But their life doesn't end at the end of spring. Even by the end of summer, the tree keeps growing. Every year it keeps growing. The leaves are lost during the winter season. Inshallah, we don't experience spiritual winter. We don't lose our leaves. But compared to the other months of the year, the month of Ramadan should be a fresh start for more progress. So after the month of Ramadan, inshallah, we shouldn't let go of the readings of Quran, perhaps reduce the amount of it, but be consistent. And perhaps if you're reducing the amount, the quantity of what is read, and there will be less sessions discussing the Quran, you can take advantage of that time and spend a little more time visiting the meanings of the Quran, inshallah. One of the teachings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran, which is related to us in the current context that we are in, is a certain understanding that we need to have. I feel that, again, we're here under pressure, we start making mistakes. I've addressed this from a different angle, a similar topic, but it's the same idea, same situation. It has to do with Palestine and the Zionist state, that we need to understand these Quranic teachings. If we don't, we'll end up following what the enemies of Allah tell us through mainstream media. What is said about that context, about that situation, is entirely based on what Shaitan says. Even at least much of, if not all of, what is said in support of Palestine is based on and from the perspective of Western ideals, Western paradigms, and so on and so forth. For example, there was a video I was seeing. It's not new. The person was the first time I was seeing it popped up on Facebook. People were posting it on BBC. There was apparently the ambassador of Palestine to the UK, if I understood that correctly, because that's the title that was there, the Palestinian ambassador, and it was in the UK, so I assume that's Palestinian ambassador. I didn't know other than the Islamic Republic has had the Palestinian, they kicked out the Israelis from their embassy, and what they called the Israeli embassy became the Palestinian embassy in Iran. There is no such thing as Israeli embassy. In Britain, that's where it all started. Britain was the partner in crime of establishing the Zionist state, the first partner in crime. Then they stabbed the British in the back as well. All of them being bad, of course. But anyway, they did that, then they went along with the Americans, as that's how the world of the dog-eat-dog world out there works. You know, and somebody's new in town with more abilities than the old guy in town is going to be having to, if he wants to survive, he has to get in line. Anyhow, but I've seen it other, I don't want to name figures, but a lot of these interviews you see on these various mainstream media outlets, they're supposedly, and the people are posting it, they're retweeting it or resending it, sharing it, whatever, on social media, thinking that this is in support of the Palestinian cause. One of the first things that is thrown at these figures is Hamas, from the perspective of the Westerners. Israel is the one that has the right to live. Palestinians don't have the right to live. Israel has a legitimate existence according to them. Israel has the right to self-defense regardless of what it uses. Palestinians have no right. So the way it's presented is from an Israeli perspective. this new round of attacks that Hamas has against the Zionists. Okay. The person who tries to defend the Palestinians, generally, I have not seen otherwise. I have seen plenty of speakers, plenty of people being interviewed, and they're all seen to be pro-Palestine, and to a degree they are. I'm not questioning that. I'm not saying that they're against Palestine or they're not pro-Palestine. They are. But the way they defend, they always brush off Hamas. They say it's not about Hamas. They say, you know, let's not talk about Hamas. Let's talk about what Israel is doing. And they try to do what the media tries to hide. The media hides the Palestinian casualties. It hides even the recent cause of this friction. The recent events that have taken place are a few things. One of them is what happened in Masjid al-Aqsa itself, and a neighborhood in East Jerusalem that belongs to the Palestinians, even according to their standards. Now, what Israel has generally been doing, as Imam Khomeini called it, this is a cancerous tumor. A cancerous tumor, or a cancer tumor, what it does is that it starts growing and spreading. That's what it does. So that's what Israel does. They send out these so-called settlers. They unleash them. They really behave like dogs and wolves. I should say wolves, because dogs don't behave now. They behave like wolves. And they go in packs, and then the Israeli military that they call police, it's a military, they go with them. They make sure that these wolves get to do, and they act all tough and stuff. They're the cowardest people. You have defenseless, armless, meaning people without arms, without defense, on the other side. And then you're going in packs, armed already, the settlers. And then you take in the military as well to defend them. And they act all tough. You're not tough. Look at what the missiles are doing to you now. Anyhow, that's the cause. They started sending in settlers to this neighborhood of Jerusalem or Quds al-Sharif. And they're throwing people out of their homes to try to confiscate and take another neighborhood of East Jerusalem, because their plan is, they said, they've officially announced with this idiot Trump in, they said, well, forget about the two-state solution. We're just going for all of Palestine. There will be no more Palestine. So they just ripped everything up, which was in the making. That's how they are. As the Quran says, إِنَّهُمْ لَا أَيْمَانَ لَهُمْ. They don't have any, what oath, what agreement, what contract, what pledge. They don't keep anything, no side of, no treaty, no nothing. There's no point in making treaties. They will not hold it. They didn't. So now they're unleashing these settlers over there, and that's the beginning of this thing. The media tries to hide that and try to make it seem like Hamas started just out of nowhere, out of the blue, throwing rockets towards Israel and Israeli cities and so on and so forth, and then all of the Israelis all of a sudden become innocent. So what they do is try to say that that's not the case. They try to say these people started it and so on and so forth, and look at what's happening to Palestinians. Land is being stolen from them. Their homes are being stolen from them. Their lives are being stolen from them. They're being tortured, all these different things. However, the point is, the crux of the matter right now, the focal point here is, what about Hamas? What about Islamic Jihad? In the case of the 2006 war, what about Hezbollah? And their use of military force against the Israelis. In this case, Hamas and Jihad al-Islami, and pretty much we can sum it up by saying Gaza, which is the stronger part of the Palestinian regions in terms of being independent, in terms of being on their feet, in terms of having arms and protecting and defending themselves and having kicked out the Zionists from their lands, no settlements within Gaza. They engaged, they saw that their brethren in Quds are being attacked. They started launching rockets to tell Israel, you better stop that there in Quds al-Sharif, otherwise you're going to be feeling it. Those people there are not armed. They're, unfortunately, they don't have the means to defend themselves, but we are their brothers. You do that to them, we're going to show you our wrath. And this is their wrath. They don't have the means, we do. We're going to teach you a lesson. They launched rockets against the city known in Arabic as Asqalan and taught a lesson there. And then they said, if you keep going at this end, because obviously Israel is going to try to keep going with their aggression in Quds, and they're going to try to stop Hamas and Jihad al-Islami in Gaza. So they sent their jets to bomb certain areas of Gaza, thinking that they can stop this. And alhamdulillah, by the will of Allah, by the istiqama and the faith of the believers, despite all the odds, them keep going, and then believers from the outside, the Islamic Republic above all, considering it their responsibility to support them, design weapons that will be able to be made in Gaza. They're making their own weapons there. They're strong. You can't brush them off. A few attacks, even more than a few attacks, will not stop. They've already tried this. Hamas started launching rockets and said, if you don't stop this, we're going to start targeting Tel Aviv. And they did. They did. And they have the right to. So the point we're having here is to have an understanding regarding this matter and stop shying away and stop using their analogy. There's either fear, we've talked about the fear part, don't be afraid of them saying, oh, you support Hamas, you support Jihad al-Islam. Yes, of course I do. I don't care who else chooses to do that or not. It's my Islamic taklif. It's my human taklif. It's my obligation as a human being, understanding what's really happening, what's been happening in Palestine, to support Hamas and Jihad al-Islami. It's my responsibility. It's my obligation as a human being. And my obligation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my obligation to Allah based on the leadership of the leader. We said in the recent speech, I had not heard it publicly, officially, as I did in the speech that the leader gave on the day of Quds, that he said everybody needs to support those believers that are using arms against Israel. So that's another area that we have an obligation and taklif. On all these different levels, whichever you understand, it's an obligation we need to support. One reason that gets in the way is fear. That we've talked about that before. Don't worry about that. Don't be afraid. The other thing that I want to, the topic I want to talk about right now is people who have been influenced one way or another by Western paradigms. Western paradigms influence the masses in very interesting ways. For example, within the same United States of America, you have a large number of people who think they have a right personally to be armed and to choose who comes to their home, to their land, crosses their gate, and who doesn't. And they feel that it's their right. If anybody crosses that gate without permission, the owner has a right to shoot that person dead. Okay. They're not a small, tiny group of people. There are a good number of people that think that they need to have all these firearms. It must be legal. It's their right to have it. To do what? To defend the country against? To defend people against their government, which is, according to some, what is intended by what amendment is there for the firearms? No, for none of that. I am I. I have this area of land, it's mine. I want to choose who comes in, and I want to choose that, and I want to have that much power that if anybody crosses that gate, I have the right to shoot them. Okay, you have people that are affected by what's being fed to people. They develop these thoughts, and they're generally white people. These are the people that are affected. The others, I don't know of any Mexican person, any black person, that they may use that similar language, but it's very, very uncommon. There may be a few, we've seen some pictures here and there, but it's very uncommon. That's generally white people. They're affected in that way. Then, in the same United States of America, you have people that believe they need to support the troops. And the troops, which troops? The troops that went to Vietnam. The troops that went to Korea, the troops that went to Afghanistan, the troops that went to Iraq. And we know what they have been doing. They think that's the right thing. We're the best. We have the right. It's our God-given right. That's the way they feel. That's justified. That's right. That's of course correct. And if the Iraqis kill our soldiers there because that's their land, they don't have a right to do that. We have a right to send our soldiers there, kill Iraqis in their homes. They don't have a right to kill our soldiers. If they do, they're bad people. This is the way they have been. Another view that some people are affected, and this is generally immigrants. Generally immigrants, because even the Democrats in this country don't view this. About pacifism, it's just bad. Violence is just generally bad, and we should avoid that. And then they look at the missiles launched, they're like, oh, Palestinian people need to be defended. Well, how are you going to defend Palestinian people? What's the way to do it? Like, I don't know, it's just Israel needs to stop doing what it's doing. Well, it's not. Hamas should stop. Hezbollah, no, they shouldn't do that. We saw those rockets at lands. These are civilian areas. These are cities. People are living in it. They shouldn't do that. This is wrong. And so Muslimin are being affected by this part of the paradigms that are being fed. It's interesting. Muslimin don't generally, in this weird... they say it's a melting pot. I don't know what type of melting happens here, that white people develop this sense of superiority, that they have the right to arms, to not only defend their country, but to have that property against whoever enters that, police, government, people, neighbors, blacks, colored people, whoever. They choose, and they have the right to kill them if they want to enter. But Muslimin are generally not affected and influenced by that type of propaganda or that type of those paradigms. It's other people, it's generally white people that are affected by that. It's interesting that Muslimin are generally immigrants, of course, and they're generally affected by this idea of, oh, it's just, no, we shouldn't support the Revolutionary Guards. They show their missiles, they show their military advancements. They show Hezbollah what they do. They show Hamas what they do. They feel like, you know, we shouldn't do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, for those who want to hear what God says. Let me try to pull up the verse. I don't want to. The concept is there. It's repeated a few times in the Quran, at least, if not more. But I want to give you the exact words so it can be a reference for those who want to look at the verse. I apologize. Let's recite the salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. One of the verses that is a reference here is Surah Shura, or Ash-Shura, verse 40. I don't want to read before and after. I'm just going to quote a small portion of the verse and then explain it. It says, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. Okay, in other verses we have other words, مَنْ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Here, I want this particular wording. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. سَيِّئَة is generally understood to be a bad thing. It's bad. سَيِّئَة doesn't mean good, it means bad, something bad. If somebody does something bad to you, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا is a bad thing in return. If a person does wrong to you, that wrong is what they deserve. فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. If somebody shows enmity towards you, then show enmity towards them the way they do. They shoot bullets, you shoot bullets. They shoot media warfare, media warfare. Economic, economic. But bad behavior deserves a response of the same bad nature. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. We need to understand this. Now understand the context that Israel, anything called Israel, is by its very nature and its history, violation of Palestinian rights and therefore سَيِّئَة. Every Israeli that lives in the land called Israel and the Israeli government is entirely سَيِّئَة. The only way to remove that sayyah is to remove that government and remove those Israelis from those homes and that land. They have come in, stolen land by force. This is their sayyah. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. Hamas, Jihad al-Islami have every right to launch rockets towards Tel Aviv, towards Asqalan, towards Haifa, towards wherever else. Have every right to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. God says, they did sayyi'ah to these people. The jazah of it, the response, yes, it's not a nice thing. It's sayyi'ah, but it's a response to their sayyi'ah. And a response which is a sayyi'ah is justified according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, it causes destruction. It causes lives, of course. But this is a response. This response is justified. Now it's interesting. Again, I'm really confused how these paradigms are made, where I'm talking about people who understand that the very existence of Israel is unjustified and unaccepted. Because those who don't understand that, okay, there's room, they don't know what the situation on the ground is. They I guess haven't read the history, they don't know what really is happening. They've been misinformed about the reality of the situation. If you realize the reality of the situation, to think that, I don't agree with Hamas either. Why don't you agree with Hamas? These are mujahideen fi sabilillah that are doing exactly what God says. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. And the funny part I was saying, the part that makes me confused is this. The U.S. constantly, in Israel, constantly use this line. It's like they've taken this part out of the Qur'an. And they apply it to Israel, like Israel has the right to self-defense, as though you know, they're the ones who are defending, they're the ones who are responding. So they've accepted that, they keep throwing that out, they keep repeating that lie, because the principle is acceptable by all, but they apply it to Israel, whereas Israel is actually the one who started aggression. The very existence of Israel is aggression. Every Israeli that lives on those lands is an aggression. Whether they were the ones who used weapons against Palestinians or they weren't, they are part of the reason why Palestinians for over 80 years have been kept outside their lands. They're part of the cause. They're part of the reason. They're sayyi'ah. Their existence there is sayyi'ah. They started this sayyi'ah. What Hamas does, what Jihad al-Islami does, what Hezbollah does is sayyi'atun mithluha. The response is justified. It's interesting, these principles, the paradigms, the way they're twisted, this is how we end up. Muslimin, confused, like, oh, let's not. Either out of fear, which we've discussed, or they're really confused. They think, no, we shouldn't support Hamas. They use force. Well, what are they supposed to use? Anyone who tells Hamas and Jihad al-Islami and Hezbollah and the Islamic Republic and Hashd al-Sha'bi and whoever else is like that, the Yemenis, Ansarullah, if you tell them don't use force, you are part of the aggression against them. You're part of the aggression against them. Saying that what Israel does is wrong is not enough. Saying what Saudi Arabia does in Yemen is wrong is not enough. Saying what Daesh did is wrong is not enough. You have to say Hashd al-Sha'bi that fought it is right. They have every right to do that. In the case of Israel, Jihad al-Islami, Hamas, Hezbollah, whoever else fights them, they're right. Their work is justified. Ansarullah and what they're doing, that's justified. We support that. Based on what? Based on the Quranic teaching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. It is the responsibility of the Islamic Republic and others who can help them, like Hezbollah, to make this verse, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا إِن فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Anyone shows aggression towards you, enmity towards you, you treat them with enmity in the same way. They have nuclear weapons. They are armed to the teeth. The Palestinian people deserve to be armed at least to the same level and to use weapons at least to the same level, because they're responding to aggression. The response to aggression has got to be harsher, to be a deterrent for anyone else to think that they can cause this aggression or be part of aggression again, to deter them. This is a very important Quranic. Quranic teachings aren't only be nice. Quranic teachings aren't only that Salah is good. Quranic teachings aren't only feed the poor. That's part of Quranic teachings. If anyone sees the verses about Aqimu Salah wa Atu Zakah, Al-Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi an al-Munkar, they see those things, but they don't see Jahid al-Kuffara wal Munafiqin waghlud alayhim. They don't see جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. They don't see فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. As the Qur'an says, those who want to take part of the Qur'an and leave another part, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. They are kuffar, they're not Muslimin, they're not mu'mineen. Let's all repent. Any of us who has been involved with this out of negligence, ignorance, this is all part of the Qur'an. Quran is a comprehensive religion. The Quran is a way of life. Doesn't only teach you how to worship in your house or in the masjid. It tells you how to deal with aggression, how to deal with aggressors. And as Muslimin, we need to be part of that. If we're not, if we don't support the mazlum and their right to respond, we're part of the oppression. It's not enough to say, oh, that's oppression on the other side. What's that going to do for the oppressed? What is that going to do for the oppressed? You can have all the mouthpieces of all the citizens of the world say, Israel must come down. Okay, what is it going to do? Is boycott Israel. What the heck is this thing, boycott Israel? You think you're going to bring Israel down with a boycott? Do you know how intertwined the Israeli network's economy is with the whole world? You can't buy diapers for your kid without involving some money going to Israel, unless you live in the Islamic Republic. The rest of the world, it's all part of the same fabric, and it's not just taxes. It's not just taxes. Who are the biggest bankers of the world? They're Zionists. You have your money in the bank. You need it in the bank. And it's not haram to be there. This is the point we're trying to make. If we think that we are supporting the Palestinian people by this boycott, what is it going to happen? Are they going to really feel the pain? Really? Really? They use the example of South Africa. South Africa is a whole different story, a whole different story. And the way it ended, by the way, is a whole different story as well. Don't think that's a huge victory in South Africa. No. In South Africa, the munafiqeen there, the aggression still remains. Okay, don't think that's it's a really good, nice story. Oh, we brought down the political system. No, you didn't. You just superficially changed it. Everything remained the same. But even that much, it's a whole different scenario. In order to stop Israeli aggression, the only way to stop Israeli aggression, as the leader said, the only thing they understand is the language of force, which is what the Quran says, جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. Have to respond. Everybody else in the world must support Hamas and Jihad al-Islam. As we allow the media to silence that part, to get us not to say that, to get us to agree that Hamas and Jihad al-Islam is not something we're going to support, we'll just condemn Israel, they're going to continue doing the same thing, and Palestinian people are going to be suffering, and you're going to see the same images next year and the following year and the following year and the following year. You know how long the Palestinian people have been in this struggle? Double my lifetime, plus more, almost triple my lifetime. People my age were born in this situation. People my father's age were born in this situation. If my grandfather was alive, my grandfather would have been born in this situation. How much longer do you expect the Palestinian people to put up with this and to survive? You want to be part of that? You want to bring this aggression down? As God says in the Quran, the only way is that we support the right of the Palestinians to self-defense. They're not the aggressors. If they walk with tanks, if they start marching into Tel Aviv, they're not aggressors because Tel Aviv is theirs. Whatever the name is, apparently, if I understand correctly, this is not their name. Asqalan is there. Haifa is there. Al-Khalil is there, what they call Hebron. Al-Khalil, city of Al-Khalil, the shrine of Ibrahim alayhi salam, our great prophet of Allah, is buried in Al-Khalil. That belongs to the Palestinians. It belongs to the Ummah of Islam, the descendants of Ibrahim, the true descendants of Ibrahim. It belongs to them. If they walk into them, if they march into those with tanks, they're not aggressors. They're taking back what's theirs. And every minute that the Israeli military, the Israeli police, and the Israeli citizens remain in Palestine, it is aggression. Making food in an Israeli home, building and construction in an Israeli home on Palestinian lands that they call Israel, the part they call Israel, I'm not talking about what they call occupation according to international standards, because those international standards are twisted. Every inch of Palestine, and there is nothing but Palestine, cooking food there is aggression. Staying there, living there is aggression. Leave. It's a sayyah for you to be there. جَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. It's funny how people say, oh yeah, some Israelis are against Israeli aggression. What do you mean they're against Israeli aggression? Them being there is aggression. They're like, oh, let's keep it to the lands we already own or we've stolen already. Let us live here. Let them have the little bit they have. That's not justified. If they're really against Israeli aggression, get up and leave and tell the rest of the world, look, you should either tell them to leave or force them to leave if they want to listen to you, because they're not listening. They're not going to listen to anyone. You need to be forced to leave. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us from deviations in our thoughts. These are deviations in one's thought. If one thinks what God says to be right is not right, that's spiritually harmful to them. If anybody thinks that Hamas, what it's doing is wrong, whereas God has said is right, it's right, then that's harmful for them to believe in that way, because they're deviating in their thoughts from what God has said. And a'udhu billah, God forgive us if we ever do that. And we ask Him to guide us to never do that. And inshallah, He gives us also the courage to announce that and say to all those who want to hear, as part of our jihad, we support what Hamas is doing currently is right, it's justified. It is a response to the aggressions of the Zionist regime. It is fully justified. Jihad al-Islami similarly. And during the war with Lebanon that they had, whatever Hezbollah did, it was entirely justified, and everything the Zionists did was unjustified and wrong. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the courage to be mujahideen in His way. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the iman that He is the most powerful and no one has any power or glory or ability other than He. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the soldiers of the 12th Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially the Mujahideen, especially Hamas and Jihad al-Islam, especially the believers in Gaza, especially the people in Quds al-Sharif that have been defending Islam and currently are the ones on the front lines defending Islam with bare hands. With bare hands. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to curse all those leaders that caused the Palestinians in Jerusalem to have bare hands and no weapons. Whoever caused that situation that has caused the current aggression against the Palestinian people and the images that we see. May Allah curse them. Those munafiqeen that caused that situation over there in the West Bank. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of our ulama, our maraja, and most of our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have left this world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the pandemic, and we ask Him to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Ali, rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as salawat. اللهم صل على